When Donald Trump launched his tariffs, beginning the growing number of times that's happened, he declared that tariffs will mean more revenue for the government and more jobs for Americans. Concerning what the tariffs are being applied to, you probably felt little of any concern because those products, those materials, at least didn't directly affect your life. So did that feeling hold when you heard that prescription drugs were going to be hit with tariffs? Of course, we heard the same promises, more money, more jobs. My next guest is with us to share the findings of a new report that presents the facts, reality, and effect for you as a consumer and patient when you think about it. The report is iPharmaceutical, the role of trade and tariffs in the drug industry. I'm being the author of the report. He is healthcare policy expert with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Jeremy Negotian. How are you today, Jeremy?
Pretty good. How are you?
Great to have you back here to talk about this. CEI.org is where you can find the report as well for your education and information purposes. The title clues you in, but more specifically, what is it that you wanted to explore with the report iPharmaceutical?
Well, I think if you're anything like me, you've just been inundated by a series of announcements of tariffs starting in January and continuing practically every day since then on any number of products and all kinds of countries. And I think a lot of people are having a hard time keeping up with all of those announcements, and in doing so, it's hard for them to understand what the implications are going to be. And so I wrote this study, this report, to look at what the pharmaceutical supply chain looks like, how pharmaceuticals are manufactured, where that manufacturing takes place, how the product moves from country to country around the globe before it ends up on our medicine shelves. And by way of that background, to help people figure out what the tariffs might do. So thus far, a lot of the tariffs have been on more focused on branded drugs and not so much on generics. I mean, even in the big tariffs on China and India, China and India is where most of our generic products come from. And yet, the tariffs on those two countries have exempted pharmaceuticals. So to date, the impact on generics has been small, and the impact on branded drugs has been higher. Now, branded drugs are where prices are higher, so there is a sense in which putting tariffs and making them produced in the United States makes sense. But in general, since tariffs are going to raise prices anyway, all this is going to do is raise prices on the branded products as well, and be counterproductive to some of the trends we've seen so far. I think a lot of people don't realize that even though we're often talking about how high drug prices are, drug prices have actually gone up at a slower pace than the average price over the past 10 years. And so that's one of the facts I want to get out there with this report.
And with that fact being fact, you know, what a grand idea. Let's put tariffs on something and the prices are going down. Try to explain logic with that situation. And your report is specific, too, because you look at the production of the called APIs, active pharmaceutical ingredients. You know, when we say supply chain, we think, okay, the bottle of Lipitor is going to come into the country, be exported from whichever point. But it's those APIs that's the key, and that also explains how and why the U.S. is in the minority as far as API in production for brand drugs. 15% is created by the U.S., and in generic, 12%. I think we all want to see, obviously, a greater domestic production for everything, from electronics to pharmaceuticals, but you don't hear much talk about the transition time. It's like, okay, here's point A and point Z. Well, we sort of have a bunch of letters in the middle that we have to contend with, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. I think, in my opinion, I think the United States, I mean, it'd be great if the United States produced everything, but I think we're actually better off when the United States is focusing on the highest value products and not the low value products. I think we should be building more sophisticated mechanical equipment and high-value drugs than, you know, T-shirts or nails.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where, in a global economy with low tariffs, I think what that has shown is that the United States is the best manufacturing country in that it can focus on those high-value products. The stuff we make in the United States is the really the top of the line stuff. And we import a lot of the low value stuff. We have other countries produce that because they can do it more cheaply, and it leaves us to be able to focus on the very difficult products where highly skilled manufacturers and researchers are necessary. That's another thing we have in the United States is a large research labor force that are driving innovation in medicines. And so if we're instead trying to focus on producing low-value APIs or generics, well, those workers have to come from somewhere. And it will shift our workforce and our manufacturing capabilities in a way that might not be the best for us.
Again, going back to what I said in the introduction, we hear the promises of tariffs create jobs. Well, between the workforce in America and the visa issues that seem to change as rapidly as the tariff issues, would we have the workforce for the pharmaceutical industry to have it grow to a more appreciable level than it is in America?
Yeah, I think that is a very big question, and a question that seems like the answer is going to be no. I mean, the workforce is the workforce, and we can expand it at the rate of growth of the population or with immigration, and if we're not expanding it, then it's kind of set. And in fact, it might start shrinking too as the nation gets older. And so that's going to limit the labor opportunities that we have to produce more in the United States, which will make it even harder for us to produce some of that high-value work. I think another thing I wanted to point out is even though we think that trade is bad for U.S. manufacturing, in pharmaceuticals over the past 10 years, even though the United States is importing way more pharmaceutical products than it was 10 years ago, the pharmaceutical industry has actually grown in the United States. There are more people working in pharmaceuticals now than there were 10 years ago.
Talking with Jeremy Nagosian about his report, iPharmaceutical, which you can find at the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, of which he is a healthcare policy expert with at CEI.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. A phrase we all hear frequently, especially talking about tariffs, is one of the complaints is a restriction, limitation, imbalance of free trade. Do policies back up those claims of the imbalance, or is this an excuse for doing things like Trump RX comes to mind, for example?
I think if you look at tariff rates specifically, you'd see that for the most part, the countries we trade with have as low or lower tariff rates on us than we have on them. So then what policymakers who want to ramp up tariffs do is they look at some of the non-tax rate types of restrictions on products. So I think as an example, Europe has a environmental regulations. Japan has an infrastructure that promotes smaller cars so that our big trucks might not be able to be imported. I think by and large, though, I don't think those have a huge impact, and it also doesn't prevent American manufacturers from producing products and competing on their own terms in those countries. Just for my own view, I don't take those non-tariff restrictions to be a very strong counter policies that hurt our trade. And I think especially they pale in comparison to these tariff rates that I think are going to be really damaging.
I referenced Trump RX, which you might have caught this past week in the news. It's, I guess, at best described as a work in progress. Some people are saying it's nothing. It's going to be nothing more than a pharmaceutical Craigslist where the pharma companies will be allowed to directly sell from manufacturer to consumer. So with that in mind, because when you look at the pharmaceutical process here in America for patients, Medicaid, Medicare, through them, you get the lowest price already. I mean, I know all this talk about most favored nation pricing and everything, but doesn't Medicaid and maybe to a lesser degree Medicare always already balance that out? We don't need these pretty names and branding and promises, and more people have quickly are already saying this is going to be much ado about nothing with the Trump RX concept.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I think Trump RX is not going to be as beneficial as being proclaimed right now for many of the reasons that you were laying out, that the drug companies have already negotiated pretty low prices for Medicaid and Medicare. And, you know, even when they put some of these products on that website, the people who would buy them already have access to them through their current insurance at a lower price out of pocket. So it's unclear what direct impact this is going to have, but I think longer term, I'm more concerned about it in the same way as the mayoral candidate of New York wants to open city-run grocery stores thinking that it's going to lower prices. But I think on top of that, when you're giving future presidents of either party some of this discretion to push around drug companies to lower prices, I think that is a recipe for disaster.
I know we got into a lot of analytical ideas and issues, which, again, you can explore on your own with Jeremy's report, iPharmaceutical, the role of trade and tariffs in the drug industry. But it kind of boils down to the simple, doesn't it, Jeremy? If it was cheaper to do it in America, these pharma companies would be doing it in America.
I think that's right. I think it's. I think it also goes beyond cheaper. It's that you have to look at the whole economy, all the products all together, and the market is allocating labor, resources, transportation in a way that consumers want. And I think that having a president try to re-engineer that, or policymakers at any level trying to re-engineer that from their own point of view, is just going to end up with a inferior outcome.
The report again is iPharmaceutical, the role of trade and tariffs in the drug industry. You can find it and a lot more information about this and other matters that you hear about maybe fleetingly in the news, but it's a greater exploration you could do at the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. He is our healthcare policy expert, Jeremy Nagosian. Jeremy, thanks for the information, always the education. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.